pastor up in Washington did quite an extensive study on the whole subject of forgiveness, and it was given to me, and you know, it's something that's been really beneficial for me. And so I thought I'd just take just a few minutes tonight and just kind of look at some of the biblical principles surrounding forgiveness. So if you would please, open up to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, we'll be looking at verse 3 and 4. Be on your guard. Take heed to yourselves, as it reads in the New King James. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times a day, and in seven times he returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. Well, there's four areas that are spoken of in verse 3 that have to deal with the subject of forgiveness. The issue that's addressed in chapter 3 is there's a particular offense that's committed, and that's the sin spoken of where your brother sins against you. So there's an offense, and then there's a call to rebuke, and then after that, a call for repentance and the opportunity to forgive. There's a lot of scriptures that are real clear on, you know, our responsibility to forgive. And let me just share a couple of them with you. Most of you are probably, you know, very familiar with these. And when you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you in your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you. Well, you know, it seems like, you know, I mean, we're mandated to forgive people who offend us. And, you know, and from time to time, that happens. That's just kind of a normal part of, I guess, just a normal part of life. From time to time, we will all cause someone else around us to stumble, whether intentionally or unintentionally. You know, sometimes we do it and we know exactly what we're doing, and other times we don't know what we're doing, but yet it's still, you know, things happen and they offend people. And it seems the closer you are, the more, you know, opportunities you have for this occurring. Well, if we look at be on your guard, if your brother sins, rebuke him. Well, if your brother sins, you could almost, you know, put that when he sins, because we can pretty much guarantee that people are going to do things that are going to offend us, and we're going to do things likewise that are going to offend other people. It's going to be committed by someone, and you know, and these things can happen either as some sort of an act that someone might do. Maybe it's something that someone says. Maybe we say someone to someone else, and you know, it's something that they take offense to, or they say something to us. Well, left unresolved, these issues can cause walls in between believers. You know, and this is a very real part of life. You know, so what do? Do you just simply, you know, forgive and say, all right, well, I'll just leave that be? Well, I guess that's one way to handle it. But if you look at the text here, it says that if your brother sins against you, to rebuke him. And that's, you know, that's a real important part of the forgiveness process. That's, you know, a really difficult part for a lot of us. You know, just the idea of correcting another person. And so what I want to do is just kind of look at this and see exactly, you know, what's being talked about here. Rebuke. This is appropriate when the person who's offended you has failed to, I guess, come forward and admit that what they've done is an offense to you. Okay? Because sometimes, you know, we'll say something rather stupid and, you know, if you catch it, you can go up to the other person and say, you know what, I'm real sorry for saying that. I was just completely out of line. And I guess in a perfect world, that would happen all the time, and, you know, we'd never have to rebuke another person. But it doesn't. And yet the responsibility still lies with us. You know, according to this passage, God wants us to keep peace within the family of God. That's a real important thing. So he asks us to rebuke. So if this person who has made this offense has failed to come forward and admit they're wrong, you know, it's your responsibility to go to that person and to let them know that what they have done has offended you. And that's what it's talking about here, is to go to them and rebuke them. And the word rebuke means to bring to light, to expose, to convict. It means to convince someone of something, is what it's talking about. So, you know, they are probably not even aware of what they've done. Many times that's true. Sometimes they are aware, and maybe they would just rather not address the issue. But it's real important, you know, to at least give them the opportunity to recognize that what they have done, you know, has offended you. And I think that's, you know, that's exactly what this passage is talking about. Now, the process of this rebuke, of course, there's a right way and there's a wrong way to do it. At Nightlight last night, we had an interesting incident afterwards. One of the pupils did something that offended another one of the pupils, and this student here went up, you know, took, I guess he took the biblical mandate and began to rebuke. But man, it just was just scathing, you know, and it just relentless, and just, you know, you and your family, and, you know, I mean, it was. So you can go overboard with the rebuke. The important thing is just to keep it specific to the issue at hand. You know, what was the particular offense that offended you? And that's a real good process to go through. You know, if you've got someone against someone, just to sit down and think about what exactly it is that they've done that offends you. I mean, write it down. And then after you've written it down, look at it and see if it makes any sense. You know, because sometimes we take offense over things that we really shouldn't. You know, so I guess we have to make sure that we're within the biblical grounds of taking offense, and that we're not just hypersensitive. You know, because that happens too. So, you know, consider what has happened, and present this person, and just go to them and you say, "Look, I just wanted you to know that I took offense to what you did." You know, and what you're doing is you're making this person aware of something that they may not have been aware of. And also, at that point in time, you're putting the ball in their court. You know, you've made them aware of something that they've done, and it is now their responsibility to come clean. Okay? Now, this doesn't give you any grounds for not forgiving, depending on what they do. You know, the mandate to you is still to forgive. But as you think about, you know, when you've placed the ball in this person's court, now what are they going to do with it? You know, someone comes to me and says, "Look, you know, I just want you to know I had a problem with what you did. I think it was out of line." Well, you know, I've got a choice at that point in time. You know, I am definitely aware that something that I've done has offended that person. And, you know, what do you do? Well, I mean, that kind of moves into the next part of the verse, which is repentance. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. Repentance here is from a familiar Greek word well, it's familiar to me, but it's been used from this pulpit many times, metanoia. And it's meta is from change and noia, meaning the mind, so it's a change of the mind. And what it's saying here is if he changes his mind about what he has done, you know, you've confronted him with the offense. And, you know, he has the opportunity to look at it now as an offense and decide yes or no, you know, what he's going to do with it at that point. You know, hopefully the person will recognize, you know, at the very least that what they've done has offended you. You know, sometimes they don't. You know, hopefully the offender will see his offense as a sin against God and a sin against you, because many times it is. You know, this is a real important concept, because you know, it's real easy when issues happen between people, you know, just to let it go. And many times that's not the best thing to do. You know, unless you can just totally forget something and move on, you know, I can't. I've just, you know, I found it's better just to, you know, get things out in the open. Because at least, you know, at that point, everyone knows, you know, I mean, at least the people involved are cognizant of all the feelings that are involved. And that's real important. I mean, you know, I mean, this is Scripture. God wants us to keep the peace in the family. And so he puts this in here as a process I think we need to go through. You know, if there's an offense committed, you know, we need to, in love, we need to confront. And I mean, not in a bad way, but just, you know, kind of go before the person and say, look, you know, I think what you did was, I mean, it offended me. Well, what happened, you know, sometimes repentance may involve restitution. Okay, there's a lot of Old Testament examples of acts that were committed that were offenses against individuals, and sometimes sorry just wasn't enough. Okay, if a person stole, they were responsible to make restitution to the person that they stole from. You know, it wasn't you just couldn't simply say, gee, I'm sorry that I lost your $10 million in investments, you know, on the wherever. Sorry. You know, they were required to make restitution. And, you know, just in a small church, you know, things borrow someone from somebody else and, you know, maybe something happens to it. And, well, we've got a responsibility to put it back together, because that in itself, you know, can cause a problem. So restitution, you know, sometimes is required. Well, if the person is, you know, you've done your part, you've confronted this person, then the ball is in their court. You know, they have the opportunity to either accept it or deny it. And, you know, the next place you go with it is forgiveness. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. Well, forgiveness can be a real difficult thing. You know, I guess the concept of the word forgiveness, you know, is where you take this act and, you know, you set it aside. And, you know, many times that's real difficult to do, depending on what's been done. But it does make it easier, you know, if the person who's offended you has really kind of come clean and said, look, you know, I know what I did was wrong, and I'm sorry for it. You know, we need to let it go at that point in time. And even if they don't, we still need to let it go. You know, the responsibility to us in the case of the offense is to let it go. But, you know, we also have to realize that, you know, there's a responsibility involved to confront the person and let them know that what they've done is wrong. And that's probably, you know, one of the things that's, you know, most neglected, that causes so many problems. I mean, it's a difficult process to go through. I mean, no one wants to go up and confront someone. But if you don't, what happens? You know, then nothing. I mean, then you end up, there's a wall between you, and you choose, you know, the friendship gets broken, or, you know, friction develops. So you've got to confront. In Matthew 18, our Lord said, our Lord was asked, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but up to 70 times seven. So the responsibility on us when we're offended is to let it go. We have to forgive them. That's the mandate to us. Because, you know, God in heaven forgave us. You know, so who are we to hold something against someone else? Well, the responsibilities, you know, as we look, there's some sort of an offense in between these two people. So, you know, at least to make that person aware of it, you've got to start with the rebuke. And that's, you know, assuming this person here is the offended one, the offed one, and this one here is the offendee. Is that right? Other way? This is the guy that threw the stone over here. This is the guy that got hit. Here we're, last night in Nightlight, we were talking about an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Any of you familiar with the context of that passage? Well, God set up with Moses laws regarding restitution, okay? And there were a whole slew of laws that required capital punishment. You know, there was murder, rape, striking your parent. If you had a wild animal and it killed the neighbor, and you knew that he was a wild animal, well, guess what? You're going down for that one. Well, one of the other things was if you dismembered... Okay, maybe dismembered is not a good word. Disfigured, okay? If you disfigured another person, okay, however you disfigured them was to be done to you. So if you gotten, I mean, I can imagine, you know, if they had hockey back in those days, you know, whatever you did to that other person was to be done to you in the case of disfigurement. Well, it was interesting because God's standards are, you know, you read through the laws, and the first time I read through them in Leviticus and in Deuteronomy, it's probably not one of the more dynamic studies that you'll read, you know, in the Word. It's, you know, it's just principle after principle after principle. But you really do come away from that study with just an overwhelming sense of what sin is in God's eyes, because it was a very strict code, and these things were sin in the eyes of God. And, you know, you think about all of these offenses that were done by these people, and justice had to be served with every violation. I mean, these guys were daily bringing animals to be sacrificed at the temple to, you know, to pay the price for whatever it was that they did. And one of the offenses was that if you knowingly disobeyed the law, okay, you were to be cast out of the camp. I mean, it was pretty strict. But we think about all of these offenses and, you know, God's strict code of justice, it gives us a better appreciation of Christ going to the cross for us. Because we see God putting on this, God presenting this standard of righteousness that really is, you know, unattainable for man. But yet God demands justice for every violation of it. And so when we think about what Christ did on the cross, I mean, he took the punishment for every single violation, you know, from the first man all the way till the end of time. And so it gives us a better, you know, appreciation, you know, of exactly the penalty that he paid on the cross.
Well,
there were many rebukes that he paid the price for. Many problems, many stones that were thrown. That's where we were. And these things cause problems. I mean, this is a real issue in any type of a small organization, whether it's a church, a family, you know, work. I mean, this is something that every one of us probably has someone who's real difficult to deal with. And this is, you know, this is God's mandate, how we need to handle it. I mean, the responsibilities to the offender. If you're the one, you know, if you're the one who's offended someone, I guess, you know, try and be aware of what you're doing. And really the responsibility, if you know that you've offended someone, you know, you really should go up and say something to them. Because chances are, you know, they may be holding something against you. You know, and that's creating a problem for them. But if, you know, if you're the one who's offended, you know, just keep in mind that you just can't, you know, you can't just let it go. I mean, it's easy to say, but it's not really easy to do. You know, you really should go up and at least let that person know, you know, what you've done. And if he doesn't repent, I mean, what if you go up to him and say, you know, I'd just like you to know that I really didn't appreciate what you did the other day. And he says, so? A few other choice words. Well, you just got to let it go. Because what you've done at that point in time is you've fulfilled the biblical mandate that God requires of you to do. And then he's now in the hands of the Lord. And, you know, if we think about what does God say about us handling these type of problems, I mean, there are certain things that we shouldn't be doing. You shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's from Leviticus 19:18. I mean, this is one of the first laws. You know, our Lord said, well, you know, our Lord answered a Pharisee when asked what is the most important law. And he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. So unity in the body of Christ is a very important, is really important. I think in Hebrews it says, as much as it lies within your power, be at peace with all men. You know, Deuteronomy 32:35, vengeance is mine and retribution. In due time, their foot will slip. You know, you got to be careful what you do when you see that foot slip. Yes. You reading through the Psalms, this was something that David had to deal with. It seemed like every fifth psalm, somebody was against him, and he's turning it over to the Lord, and people were either saying something about him or trying to attack his leadership. Or, I mean, you know, we saw he had problems within his own family, his sons. Well, Romans 12:19 says, never take your own revenge, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. And if you don't, well, I say if you don't, a lot of times when I don't confront a person, you ever get cranked up? You know, your mind starts stewing. You know, you start thinking about, all right. Well, here's a verse to keep in the back of your mind for these choice occasions. Repay no evil for evil. Okay? repay no evil for evil. And that's from Romans 12:17. So these are, you know, this is a real difficult thing to deal with, because many times, you know, you're dealing with people that are close to you, you know, and it's, I mean, no one likes confrontation. But God says that this is the best way to keep peace in the family. You know, so we really, you know, do well to listen to it. Well, I'm going to let you go 20 minutes early tonight. I apologize. Thanks, Dave. Hey, I admit it was short. Oh, wait, no, it wasn't really that short. Well, let's pray. Father, again, we're thankful for just your wisdom and your word and just your clarity on our dealings with one another and the importance of keeping peace within your family. Help us to understand this principle and just help each one of us to seek ways that we can apply it in our own lives to get over the problems that we might be going through. In Jesus' name, amen.